John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. You know, the Bible says that God so loved the world. God loved the world, or rather, God loved the people in the world more than He loved anything else. God created man, and He created woman, and He set them in a beautiful place called Eden. And everything that God had was theirs. All they had to do was ask for it. But unfortunately, Adam and Eve decided to fall for the devil's lie. God gave to Adam and Eve His word in the most simplistic form, and it was this: as long as you do not eat the fruit of one tree, you can have anything you want, and I'll give it to you. That was, in essence, the word of the Lord, and that was all Adam and Eve needed to live by. They knew that if they abstained from the fruit of one tree, everything else was theirs. And as long as they obeyed God's word, they would have had a happy and fruitful life for all eternity. But rather, Adam and Eve chose to believe the lie of Satan. The consequence was sin. Man became a fallen creature. But God still loved man, and God wanted to redeem man, so God designed a plan. Way back in eternity past, God determined that He would send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to bear upon Himself the sins of the world, to shed His blood for the remission of man's sin, to be gloriously resurrected, to return that blood to the mercy seat in heaven so that God the Father would know that man's sin was forgiven. Once again, the Word of God came. All man has to do is to accept that gift, that eternal sacrifice that was made by Christ for our sins. And once again, man can have eternal life. So the Bible says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. In other words, God said, man blew it, so now I've got to change the plan. Now I've got to come up with a new way for man to be reconciled to myself so that once again he can have eternal life and continue his fellowship with me. Because of sin, the second plan is a little more complicated. It's not quite as abbreviated as the first plan, but it'll still work. So what did God do? God wrote a book. God said, I love man, and I want man to be restored unto me, so I'm going to write down everything he needs to know, and I'm going to put it in a book. And that book is the Bible. God said, I want to give man a book. Let's pray. Father, we pray as we discuss this eternal truth that, Lord, we'll be convinced without any shadow of doubt that this is indeed truly a book that has come from God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God knew that man needed to know how to live. Man needed to know how to live his life. Man needed to know how to find eternal life. So God, once again, spoke His word. That's why this book, over 2,000 times, contains the phrase, "Thus saith the Lord." It came from God. Thus saith the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word, inspiration of God, or rather the phrase inspiration of God, comes from one Greek word, theonoustos. Theo, Greek for God. Noustos, Greek for breath. Inspiration of God, or all Scripture is given by breath of God. God literally breathed this book. God spoke and the word came forth. He breathed it out of His mouth. I want you to do something for me this morning. I want everybody to put their hand up to their mouth. Put your hand up to your mouth and say, "Praise the Lord." Did you feel air? Did you feel your breath hit your hand? God breathed, God spoke, and as that breath came out of his mouth, God was speaking. And the word of God came forth. God spoke the word. And as God spoke, men wrote. In the Old Testament, we see in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, and God spake all these words. And then in Exodus 24, 4, the Bible says, and Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. So God spoke, and Moses picked up a pen and a paper, and he wrote. That's how we got the word of God. Jeremiah 30 and verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. God spoke, and men wrote, and that's how we've received the book that we call the Bible. The same thing is true of the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 14:37. The Bible says, if any man think himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The epistles that were penned by the Apostle Paul, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, they weren't written by Paul, they were written by God. The Bible says, if you think yourself spiritual, acknowledge that these are the commandments of the Lord. God breathed, God spoke, and Paul picked up a pen and wrote, and there came most of the New Testament. The remainder of the New Testament was written by the apostles. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. God breathed, God spoke, and the apostles wrote, and therefore we have the New Testament. That's Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. That word book is the Greek word biblos, from which we get Bible. Jesus said, I come in the volume of the Bible. Remember our text, the Bible was written so that we might know Jesus and have eternal life. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus told John the Revelator, what thou seest, write in a book. God spoke, men wrote, and therefore we have the book that we call the Bible. This means that the Bible writers were not authors. They were nothing more than stenographers. The word stenographer, according to Webster, means one who takes and transcribes dictation. God was the dictator, and the biblical writers were the transcribers. In academic circles, we call this the dictation theory of inspiration. In other words, God decided he had something he wanted man to know. So God called in his secretary by the name of Moses and said, now Moses, I want you to sit down and transcribe a letter for me. God decided one day he had a message for a church in Rome. And so he said, Apostle Paul, I want you to sit down, grab a piece of paper. I have a letter I need to dictate. I need you to take it down for me. Here it is, Book of Romans. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The authors were not Moses or Isaiah or Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. The Bible had only one author, and that was God. There were many stenographers, but there was only one author. That means if you're listening to the radio, or if you're ever in a church and some man stands behind a pulpit, or if you're ever reading a book, and some man who purports to call himself a biblical scholar, I hate to use that word for most of these men. They're not biblical, nor are they scholarly. But if a so-called biblical scholar gives you this phrase, saying that I want to help you find the original intent of the author, write him off. Because what they'll do is they'll say, well, what did John mean when he wrote John chapter 20 and verse 31? The question isn't what John meant. The question is, what did God mean? God was the author. John was merely the stenographer, the secretary who took down the letter that God wrote. The man has to deny too much of the book to believe that John actually wrote the book of John. John didn't write the book of John. God wrote the book of John. John was merely the stenographer. You see, John didn't sit down one day and say, I think I'm going to write a gospel and I'm going to call it the Gospel of John. And I think I'm going to chronologue the life of Jesus. No, John didn't do that. The Bible says it wasn't by the will of men, but holy men of old spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. God decided when it was going to be written. God decided what was going to be written. It was God that spoke, and the men merely wrote. Well, how do we know that every word was spoken by God? How do we know that God, maybe he just spoke some of the words? How do we know he spoke every word? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, not some, not part, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture. God spoke every word of this book. God spoke every word. God gave us the Bible. Well, why did God give us the book? Remember our text? God gave us the book so we could know how to be saved, and so that afterwards we could know how to live our life. Whatever we need to know, it's in the book. God wanted us to know about life, so he put it in the book. God wanted us to know about afterlife, so he put that in the book too. God wanted us to know about marriage, child-rearing, finances, everything. He put it in the book. That's why Psalm 119:105 says that the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Do you want to learn about Jesus? Well, read the Gospel of John. That's why God wrote it. Do you want to learn how to go to heaven when you die? God wrote the book of Romans. Do you want to learn about the origin of the church? Well, God wrote the book of Acts. Do you want to learn how to live the Christian life? God wrote a series of epistles or letters to churches to tell people how to live the Christian life. Do you want to know about love? Read the 1 Corinthians 13. God tells us what perfect love is, how to have it, and how to manifest it. Do you want to know about God's holy standard? What he expects of man and society? Read the Old Testament. God laid it all out for us. You curious about future events or what's going to happen at the end of the world? Read the books of Daniel and Revelation. God told us everything we need to know about the end of time. Do you want to have a happy marriage? God wanted you to. That's why he wrote the book of Song of Solomon, so you could know how to have a happy marriage. Do you have trouble with your finances? The best financial advice in the world came from God. It's in the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs will show a young man or a young lady how to grow up to be the perfect adult that God would have them to be. Whatever your concern is, whatever your question, whatever you need to know, the answer's in this book. God gave us the book because God wanted us to know. Well, what does that mean? That means we ought to be avid readers of the book. It means we ought to bury our nose in the book. It means we ought to spend every spare moment of our time in the book. Reading the book will deliver us from the bondage of sin. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Well, do you want to avoid future sin? Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The book is never wrong. Proverbs 30 and verse 5 says, every word of God is pure. God breathed every word of this book, and every word of God is pure. That means every word that's in this book is pure. It's without error. It's absolutely correct, 100% true, 100% of the time. That's why Bible reading is the beginning of success. The Bible says the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want wisdom? Well, you need to learn about God. How do you learn about God? You read the book that he wrote. God wrote the book so we could know about him. Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to prosper? Delight yourself also in the law of the Lord, and you'll prosper. The reason most people don't prosper is because they don't live in the latter half of Psalm 1, they live in the former half. See, Psalm 1 begins, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Do you want to know why most Christians are unsuccessful? Because they live their entire life walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you have problems with your marriage? Rather than going to the book that God wrote to show you how to have a perfect marriage, you go and you find you a psychologist and a marital counselor and hope that he'll solve all your marriage problems. The Bible says the knowledge of God is the beginning of wisdom. Do you want to be wise regarding your marital affairs? The Bible says that if you delight yourself also in the Lord, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you'll do shall prosper. Do you want your marriage to prosper? Well then, read God's advice on marriage. You don't need Sigmund Freud's advice, you need God's advice. And by the way, you don't need the Christian psychologist's advice either. Because Christian psychologists are more psychologists than they are Christian. You need the book's advice. In fact, if people would just read the book, it would put Christian psychologists out of business. James Dobson would have to find him a church to pastor awful quick. If people would just start reading the book, they'd realize that God's advice is better than psychology's advice. But the problem is people live in the first part of Psalm 1. They walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Are your finances a mess? Well, maybe you need to stop going down to the bank and talking to the investment counselor. The investment counselors at most financial institutions, they can't know too much about investment. Most of them make less than $40,000 a year. And this man's supposed to tell you how to get rich? His own advice doesn't even work for him. And it's supposed to work for you? I'll tell you who's getting rich. The bank's getting rich. That's why they pay him $40,000 a year, to show you how to make the bank rich. God gave his plan for financial success in his word. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon tried everything under the sun to get rich. But the Bible says how we can have riches. But see, most people, we'd rather go out to the world, we'd rather walk in the counsel of the ungodly and go find some financial planner somewhere to give us some advice, when if we would just delight ourselves also in the law of the Lord, we'd have good success. Bible reading brings success. What's your problem in life today? The answer's in the book. If I can chase a rabbit for a minute, you know, that's probably a reason why parents ought to consider taking their children out of public schools. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Truth of the matter is, if you set your child in a public school for 8 hours a day, receiving 8 hours a day of ungodly counsel for 16 years of their life, and then your children go to the devil, and you wonder what went wrong. We raised them in church. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Say, well, aren't there Christian teachers in the public school? Yeah, and for every Christian one, there's 10 wicked ones. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in the season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You'll come to the preacher 16 years later and say, tears in your eyes, say, "Preacher, I just don't understand why my 16-year-old daughter's pregnant." I'll tell you why she's pregnant. Because you've subjected her to the counsel of the ungodly for the first 16 years of her life, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, for 16 years. And then you blame the preacher that she's pregnant. Go park her down at the public school principal's office and blame him. That's where the blame lies. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you have problems today? The answer's in the book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you want to be blessed? If you have problems, quit going to your lost relatives. Quit going to the bookstore and buying books. Quit going to the psychiatrist. Quit going to the group therapy session and start reading the book. The answer's in the book. God gave you the book because God wanted you to have the answer. And then you'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water that'll bring forth its fruit in its season. Your leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever you do will prosper. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to have good success? Go to the book. God wrote it so you could be successful. Go to the book. Do you realize that if you read just 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you will have read this book from cover to cover in 1 year? You spend more time than that every day reading the newspaper and the TV guide. 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday. In fact, you go down to the bookstore, they even sell a little book called the 1 Year Bible. It breaks the Bible down into 365 daily readings. On January 1st, you go to the part that says, page says January 1st, read that page. And the next day, January 2nd, flip over, read that page. January 3rd, flip over, read that page. By December 31st, you will have read the entire Bible from cover to cover. Do you know that you could sit down and read this whole book from cover to cover in just 72 hours? That's just 3 days. You could read the New Testament in less than a day. There are also Bible tapes. You can buy the Bible on cassette tape and put it in your car. Listen to it on the way to work, on the way home to work, while you're running your errands. If you just learn the art of proper time management, you'd be surprised to find just how much time you could spend in the Word of God. You say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm a busy person. Well, turn off the TV when you get home and read the Bible. Well, I'm a busy person. Give up the bowling league and take up a Bible study. Well, I'm a busy person. Take your lunch to work so you don't have to drive to McDonald's every day and sit in your office, lock the door, and read the Word of God. Time management. I'm sure that if you were to look at the way you spend and waste your time, you could find ways and times that you didn't even know existed to read the Word of God. And you say, well, this is all I need to know, and I'm glad every answer to life's in the book, but I don't know the book very well. Well, why churches have pastors. You're going to vote on a pastor today. Before you vote on him, make sure he knows the book. Make sure he's the kind of man that if you come to him with marital problems, he's not going to give you some book by some psychologist. Make sure he's the kind of man who's going to open up the book and show you the answer. If he can't open up the book and show you the answer, he doesn't need to be the pastor. That's what a good pastor does. If you have a problem, you go to him. He'll show you in the book. You say, well, I don't know the book that well. Well, there are people in the church that know the book. Find one of them. Say, I got a problem with such and such. Let them take the book and show you. And read the book for yourself. You know, sooner or later, you read this book enough, you'll know it. It's like anything else. You read it enough, you'll know it. And sooner or later, you won't have to go to other people and say, well, where's the answer to such and such? You'll know where to get one. In fact, you'll know it before you even look for it, because you will have read it 100 times. There's also a nifty little book called Knave's Topical Bible. It's about this thick. Whatever you need references on. You need what the Bible says about marriage? Look up marriage in Knave's Topical Bible. It'll give you all the verses. You know what the Bible says about finances? Look it up in Knave's Topical Bible. It'll give you all the verses. Want to know what the Bible says about child rearing? Look it up in Knave's Topical Bible. It'll give you all the verses. God loved man so much that he wanted man to have the answer. So God spoke his word. And God not only spoke his word, but he wanted to make sure that it was accurately preserved for all generations. So he set aside some holy men and he said, now okay, I'm about to speak. Now I want you to write everything down that I say. Write it down word for word, just as I say it. And they did. And we have the Bible. You say, but preacher, that was 2,000 years ago. How do we know that the Bible we have in our hand today is the same Bible that God spoke? Well, there's only so much that you can preach in one sermon. And I want to get you home a little early today. But if you'll come back tonight, I'll answer that question. This sermon this morning is how God spoke every word of this Bible. The sermon tonight is on the subject of how God preserved every word of this Bible. and he preserved it in English. Now, there are 120 translations of the Bible. Some of them are word for word accurate. Some of them don't deserve to take up space in a garbage can. In fact, there are very few pure translations of the Word of God. But there is an English translation of the Word of God that is word for word the same as what God spoke 2,000 years ago to those holy men of old. And I'll prove it. I'll prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. In fact, I believe I will prove it so conclusively that it would stand up in a court of law. I'm told that in Craig Laney's Sunday School class, there's an overhead projector. If it works, well, we'll have overhead slides to further illustrate the point. But I want everybody to come to church tonight, and the reason why is because I want everybody, when they go home tonight, to be able to go home with the assurance that God wrote them a book, and that every word that God wrote, they can have access to, so that they know how to, so you don't have to doubt anymore. Well, is this really what God said? Is this really the way I should live my life? Is this really what I need to know? Yes, this is what God said. Yes, this is what God wrote. And yes, the book that you can have the book in your hand, that's the same book that God wrote 2,000 years ago. There's no need to doubt it. The devil wants you to doubt it. The devil's tried for 6,000 years to make man doubt God's word. But there's no need to doubt it. If you'll take the time to come to church tonight and invest about a half an hour of your time, I will hopefully put all of your doubts aside and also show you which translations are good and which translations are bad. And I'll show you why they're good and why they're bad. So as the musicians come, we'll have an invitation. I wanted to let you out early today because I know you have an important decision to ponder. So as the musicians come, we'll have a brief invitation. Let's pray. Father, pray in Jesus' name. Thank you that you loved us so much that you wrote a book. Thank you, dear God, that you loved us so much that you were wise enough to have holy men write it down and preserve it to us this day so we can read your words. Let me just ask two questions. Question number one. Who would say, you know, preacher, I never knew for sure whether or not I should believe what the Bible said about salvation and about heaven and about eternal life, but now that I realize that the Bible did come from God, that it wasn't just the creation of some man, I would like to know more about what it says about heaven, and I'd like to know how to go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. I had one hand that went up. And he would say this morning, you know, preacher, I've had my doubts about whether or not the Bible was the Word of God. But now that I know this book was written by God, I want to do my best to read it every day and put into practice into my life the words that I read. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you. You can put your hands down. As Brother Daniel sings a couple of stanzas, we're going to conduct the invitation this morning. If you need to be saved this morning, come and see me, and I'll show you from the Bible how you can go to heaven when you die. Do you need to join Gateway Baptist Church this morning? Well, you come, and the membership secretary will take care of that. Do you need to be baptized this morning? We'll take care of that. You just need to come and pray and dedicate yourself to the Word of God? Well, you come and do that this morning as the musicians play.
Your Savior is waiting.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting. You'll take one step toward.